stay locked in and fully loaded.
Ashanti Radio
and Verkay Radio.
They said we couldn't do it,
but we global now, worldwide. Boom, in your face. Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.
Ladies and gentlemen,
you are listening to Young Men's Perspective Radio.
Live on Iliad, we are Real Faith Media.
We look to enrich, encourage, and engage our youth here on iHeartRadio.
And it's presented like a jewel.
We interview individuals such as Susan L. Taylor.
What we know is that failing schools are the pipeline to prison.
Jasari X.
We're the changers, and I feel like this generation is a generation that's really going to make change.
Dr. Julia Hare.
Best part of our action plan is to reclaim the minds of our children.
Dick Gregory.
Our problem is we think we're part of this government, you know.
This is Young Men's Perspective Radio.
Live on Iliad, we are Real Faith Media.
Tune in to WWRN 1100 AM on Wednesdays from 3 to 4 p.m. and every Friday from 10 to 11 p.m. on WWE 1100 AM on iHeartRadio.
Just gotta get in tune with your purpose.
YMP.
You know.
Your calling number is
404-603-8770.
No.
Your host, Jeff Hodges.
We here now
with your co-host, Digga Dame Lee.
Young Men's Perspective Radio.
Young Men's Perspective Radio.
YMP.
Welcome to the future, baby.
Like this. What's the Jerry, man? This is the legendary, the cool, the DJ, the red alert. And all I gotta say is one thing right now. Ask Don.
You are listening to Young Men's Perspective Radio.
Live on Iliad, we are Real Faith
Media. On iHeartRadio.
We here now.
YMP.
Welcome to another edition of Young Men's Perspective Magazine. I'm your host, Jeff Hodges, and today my guest is Shaka Sankur, a writer and mentor who shares a story of redemption with youth and young adults at high schools, universities, and conferences across the nation. He joins us to discuss why your worst deeds don't define you. So without further delay, YMP family, help me welcome to the show, Shaka Sankur. Welcome to the show, Shaka.
Thanks for having me, bro.
Nah, it's an absolute pleasure and honor. As I had the opportunity to check out your TED Talk, man, I'm telling you, a very inspiring individual, very powerful speaker, and your story is definitely empowering.
Thank you, Rob. I'm really humbled by your words, and basically, man, I just try to speak the truth, man, and enlighten our community and, you know, the nation so we can really understand what to do about mass incarceration and how to curtail young men and women from actually going in that environment in the first place.
Absolutely. Now, you start your story off with an apology, acknowledgement, and atonement, then take us on an amazing journey of achieving many accomplishments in such a short time since being released from prison 3 years ago, one being your presentation at the 30th anniversary of the TED Conference reading, as we mentioned earlier. Tell us about how you afforded this opportunity and what it was like to speak at TED Talks.
Oh, man, it was by far one of the most amazing experiences of my life, being able to speak to a global audience about an issue and a subject matter that's very personal, you know, something I'm very passionate about. I ended up in this space through some of my work with the organization called Black Male Engagement, which has branches in Detroit, Philadelphia, and Baltimore, and in the future will be in Pittsburgh. But I ended up winning at the time what was called the Black Male Engagement Leadership Award for the work I was doing in the city of Detroit, mentoring at-risk youth at two local high schools. When I won that award, I began to get invited to all these different conferences and meetings. And I got a chance to meet the director of the MIT Media Lab, Joy Ito, who's a global phenomenon in terms of just his insights about technology and everything associated with, you know, the work that goes on the MIT Media Lab and in the tech sector. And once he learned a little bit about my story, he began to connect me with people in spaces where he felt like me sharing my story would be able to help create a paradigm shift in how we deal with mass incarceration. And that's how I was introduced to June Cohen, who helps out with TED and is basically actually runs TED and curates the speakers. And it was amazing. You know, the 30th anniversary actually took place in Vancouver. And because I have a felony, I wasn't allowed to travel to Vancouver. So instead, they flew me to New York, where I actually did my talk from TED's office and it streamed live from there.
Yeah, I was definitely going to get into that as you segue to my next question regarding your transformation hasn't come without its obstacles. As you said, that you weren't allowed into the country. Me, myself, having a felony, I know all too well about being discriminated against as well, you know, having my own felonies and situations and my own experiences. But I also know about doors being open as yourself. And I remember applying for a job at the State Mental Hospital here in Allentown, Pennsylvania. And as the interviewee neared that question regarding having a felony, I remember getting her attention and saying, "Excuse me, can I speak to you?" She looked up and said, "Sure." And I looked her in her eyes and I began to express to her, "I'm no longer that individual. I transformed my life. I have morals and how I have a family, and I change. And all I need is an opportunity and a chance." She looked me in my eyes and said, "You know what? I'm going to give you that shot." And I love when you said, and I quote, "The most human thing we can do is restore hope to those who feel hopeless." And my question is, why, in your opinion, most people can't and don't accept prison to be a place of redemption? And I'm taking into consideration you and I both are anomalies coming from that street life and transforming.
Well, to answer part of that question, one of the reasons that is we haven't had the great buy-in about prison being, you know, a place of redemption and transformation is because we have big corporations who are vested and having a large prison population where they have this free labor pool. And unfortunately, one of the greatest marketing campaigns in our history has been the war on drugs, which has, you know, used fear to get, you know, voters to support politicians who have a tough on crime agenda, not realizing that a lot of those politicians, some of their greatest supporters, are currently invested in prison industrial complex. So my view of what we have to do at this point is really come to terms with the reality that the majority of men and women who are incarcerated will at some point return to the community, and we have to decide what kind of men and women we want to return to the community. For me, you know, in my instance, I was blessed. You know, I had great mentors. You know, some of them are actually serving life sentences who guided me toward literature, and, you know, once I started reading, it kind of pricked my consciousness, opened up my mind, and created the space for me to actually transform and come out and do something positive. But had those things not been in place, I would be no different than the next man or woman coming home to, you know, a tough economy, a very unforgiving society, limited job opportunities, and I probably would have been back in the street like anybody else. And so my position is that we have to challenge that way of thinking. We have millions of men and women who are currently on probation, parole, or who actually have a felony who are currently being discriminated against either in the job market or the housing market. So we have to rethink how we're dealing with that.
And I totally agree. Now, you're viewed from a global perspective as a thought leader, and I have to share with you, before this interview is done, you will find that you and I both share some countless commonalities. Even though I wasn't an honorable student as you are, I did work in a veterinary hospital with no formal education. I went from working in the kennels to assisting in surgeries to eventually doing surgeries in the hood on my sister-in-law tables and working with drug dealers' dogs, which was always a dream of mine to work with animals. So talk about being that honorable student who dreamed of being a doctor, and do you believe that had you not been neglected and abused in your own household, you'd be a doctor today?
There's no doubt about it. You know, as a father, I believe that, you know, my responsibility is to cultivate and nurture the best in my child and whatever his vision and whatever his dream is. When I think about that, I was already pretty good in school. I stayed on the honor roll and, you know, scholarships and stuff like that. However, you know, things took place in the household that took me off that path. And working in schools now, I see some of the difficulties that teachers, who to me are our unsung heroes, deal with when they're trying to manage children who come from households of abuse and neglect and these other harmful things that stand in their way. And what I found is that the kids who are typically smarter get the least amount of attention because they're so, you know, the teachers are so busy with the kids who are getting in trouble. And a lot of times we of watching those kids fall through the cracks or, you know, being passed through without really being challenged. And that was kind of the case for me. Like, a lot of times, I just got passed from grade to grade because I could, you know, good enough to do the work. But at the end of the day, nobody really cultivated what my dream was and what my vision for my life and my future was, you know. And so, you know, we can't go back and replay those positions. But it just makes me work that much harder as a mentor and, you know, and as a father to make sure that whenever I'm responsible for a child that I cultivate their dream and nurture that, you know, and open up their eyes to their real possibilities and whatever what they're capable of.
No doubt. And as a mentor myself, I find myself doing the exact same thing, as you said, reflecting on personal experiences and taking that and then addressing it with the young men and women that I work with. You being once considered a threat to society growing up in a neglected Detroit neighborhood with dangerous opportunities all around you, 14, you were recovering from crack addiction, and at 17, shot 3 times, yet you managed to become a role model for young black men in Detroit in spite of it all. After receiving a letter from your son with a message that has such a profound effect on you, started you on this path of your transformation. Share with my listeners that profound moment and the process to changing your life.
Yeah, you know, it kind of grew in stages. The first thing that really, what first happened is I met this brother who, you know, was incarcerated, and he introduced me to a writer called Donald Goins, who, as you know, is the most famous writer throughout the penal system, period.
No doubt.
What happened is that once I read Donald, it made me want to read more. So I ended up reading Malcolm, and Malcolm became kind of like my companion throughout my incarceration. So while the transformation definitely didn't take place overnight, I was still thugging it out on the yard, running illegal stores, getting into every type of trouble you can imagine. That was always at the back of my mind that I could do more and I could do better. And then 8 years into my incarceration, I ended up going to solitary confinement for 4.5 years straight. And while I was in there, I got a letter from my son, and, you know, he was giving me the view that he had of me based on stories he had heard from his mother and other people. And it was kind of like this view of a monster, and the last thing I wanted was for my child to grow up to see me as some type of animal, and I knew at that point I had to do whatever was necessary to turn my life around completely and not look back. And so I started journaling, started taking writing serious. You know, I wrote my first novel in like 30 days, ended up publishing my first book from prison in 2008 and got sued by the state, but, it, you know, that didn't deter me from forging ahead. And I just never looked back from that point. You know, I knew that at the end of the day, whatever my life turned out to be, I was completely responsible for it and that I had to take my destiny into my own hands and take all excuses off the table and do whatever I could to turn my life around. And that's the spirit and the space I've been living in since about 2000.
Now, here's a great deal of our similarities. Check it out. You spent 19 years in prison. 25 years ago, I faced 10 to 30 years in prison. While incarcerated, you discovered your love for writing, penning 6 novels. Had it not been my love for reading and utilizing the law I buried to gain my freedom, I'd still be in the cage today. I wrote my first book in 30 days, A Collection of Conversations, A Guide to Success, Volume 1. You wrote one in 30 days as well. Titles of your work, Live in Peace, A Youth Guide to Turn Hurt into Hope, his memoir, Writing My Wrongs, and Crack Volumes 1 and 2. At the end of the day, neither of us allowed our past to define who we are or what we are capable of doing. I like what you wrote regarding intelligence and being articulate, the new gangster. And I definitely like to add an addendum to this, saying the new hustle for this is entrepreneurship. My question is, how do we get more of our youth to recognize their full potential, our young men in particular, and move in the direction of this viable possibility of entrepreneurship?
You know, what I've been able to do and what I'm always conscious of is that, okay, like you're saying, you take both of our situations. When I started a business, I didn't go to an MBA school or nothing. I took what I knew from the streets, you know, all the marketing strategies that I employed in the streets, and I applied that to legitimate business. And it's the same thing when it comes to our youth. Like, a lot of times they're very innovative, very insightful, and nobody ever tells them that those are marketable skill sets. And so with my work at MIT Media Lab, one of the things we did was we did like a 4-day hackathon in Detroit. And we work with kids in our, you know, in the community to problem solve. And here it is, they're sitting side by side with, you know, MIT Media Lab people from, you know, IDEO, big design companies, all these firms, and they're excelling in this space because they're iterating on ideas that they've already been having on how to problem solve when it comes to some of the issues they face in the community. And once you can bridge that gap and make that connection and that light comes on, there's no holding them back. And so we have to be more conscious of how we are even critical of our children. For example, we may say, okay, well, they have a new dress fad that we may not approve of as adults. However, there's innovation and there's design theory in that, and if we can point those things out, it opens up a space in their head for them to realize, okay, well, damn, I'm a designer, actually. You know, I chose to wear my pants this way. What if I make them this way? You know, so, you know, in every facet of life when we're dealing with children who come from harsh, scrabble backgrounds, there are always opportunities to teach them how to maximize what they learn in those environments to survive and translate that into a, you know, a marketable skill set.
Definitely. Now, you co-teach a class at the University of Michigan, as you mentioned, the MIT Media Lab Fellow, teaching a mentor and using a program, Live in Peace Digital and Literal Arts Project. Elaborate on your collaborative efforts there, imagining creative solutions for the problems plaguing distressed communities and other programs you work on and teach at the university.
I work at the University of Michigan. I teach a class called the Atonement Project, and we use a cross-section of arts, creative writing, visual arts, as well as theater workshops that our undergrads go in prison to facilitate. We take the work that we curate from that, and we'll be uploading that to our site, which will be going live soon, the Atonement Project. And we're using this art as part of a restorative justice process where we bring victims of violent crimes and violent offenders into contact with each other so they can go through that process of acknowledgement, apology, and atonement. And largely because, you know, as a victim as well as a perpetrator of violent crime, I understand how important it is for people to have that apology process and to really understand the underlying motives behind why someone would shoot or, you know, rob them or whatever the case may be. And we felt like art was a great way to have that conversation. And so that's my work at the University of Michigan. And the role that MIT plays is that's where the technology that we're using for the innovative website is being developed at. And, you know, I get a chance to work with some amazing people on both ends at both universities. You know, I go back and forth between Cambridge and Ann Arbor. And it's been one of the most profound experiences of my life and one of the most humbling this past semester, just to get students that say that they have had their best college experience in our class has really been humbling. So keeps me excited, and I'm just forging ahead in that space.
Now, you're reaching out to young men following the same troubled path and published Live in Peace as part of an outreach program. Tell us about one of your most rewarding moments there.
Well, one of my most rewarding moments is recently is watching one of my students who, when I first started the mentoring program, the base of that particular program was using literature to address, you know, hard-hitting issues like substance abuse, child abuse, drug abuse, and gun violence. And this one student, he was really, really shy and really didn't want to open up. And one of the criteria for my class is that you have to participate. You can't be a passive observer. And so he slowly started, you know, writing. I use different writing forms, haikus, free-form writing, just whatever the case may be, because I wanted them to feel free to express themselves. And then this guy just took off like a rocket. Like, he received some praise from a couple of pieces that he wrote. He just became this prolific writer, and he sends me, emails me, texts me, you know, in Facebook, inbox me, you know, and he's going to become a part of this spoken word troupe. He just graduated, just enrolled in college, and, you know, and he reaches out to me all the time, and it's like one of the most positive experiences I've had. And, I, you know, and I have several of them like that, and I'm citing him specifically because his name is Anthony Skadrick. I'm citing him specifically because he's the one I'm in contact with the most. But it makes you realize that all we got to do is give these kids some hope, you know, boost their ego a little bit and show them that they can do whatever they want to do, you know. And he's off and running now, and I'm super proud of him.
Excellent. Let's talk about recidivism in jail being one of the most inhumane and barbaric places you can find yourself, and how you, along with myself, realigned our lives to not go back, but reach back to offer insight and direction to those still making return trips to jail like they have a freaking flyers coupon. Why, in your opinion, are black men are so afraid to step outside that box and comfort zone to do what we're discussing here and transform the greatness and grab hold of their full potential?
I think largely because some people really fear struggle, and they don't want to go through the hardship. But also, you know, one of the things that, you know, from being incarcerated for so long, I realized that a lot of the males that I was incarcerated with suffered from arrested development, so they're pretty much still adolescent in their thinking, even though they're adult in their bodies. And that's a dangerous combination. But also on the flip side of that is that the department does nothing to help with that transition. And so, you know, I'm just a determined brother, and the brothers that I'm around, we demanded, while we were incarcerated, we demanded the best of each other. We studied together, pushed each other. And, you know, when I walked out them doors, I knew that I was carrying the responsibility of the men that I left behind, that I grew up with, that I embraced as my brothers, and I didn't want to let them down, you know, and I refused to let them down. And it hasn't been an easy road. Like, you know, I've worked nonstop for the 4 years I've been home, no breaks, no vacations, not much sleep, you know. But at the end of the day, it's worth it because I'm opening up doors for other men and women who are coming home and for people to give them opportunities, which is the biggest thing. Like, I tell anybody that I've encountered, I don't want an unfair advantage because I've been incarcerated. The only thing I ask is that you give me the freedom to play on a level field. You know, give me an opportunity to compete in the job market. Give me an opportunity to compete in the housing market. And I believe that that's what all human beings are deserving of. Because once you've paid your debt to society, then, you know, give men and women an opportunity to reintegrate into society, become taxpaying citizens, become mentors to these kids, and keep them from going in the first place. And it makes our world a better place.
Definitely. Give us a little insight into your project with your students. Can anybody hear us, and when will it be released?
Okay, so yeah, we got really, really delayed and pushed behind on that. We still have all that writing. It's the writings that emerged out of the Living Peace Digital Literary Arts Project. And so it's on our definitely to-do list. But as you can imagine, once things start picking up, you get pulled in a million different directions. And so now we're trying to scale down some of the things we were doing and then really trying to create a more streamlined approach to getting products out to market. But their book will definitely be coming out, and I can't wait to get it in their hands and see people's reaction to it. It's really raw. It's the voice of these kids who I've worked with in two different schools. And, you know, some of the things aren't that comfortable for people to talk about or to hear, but they're necessary. If you go to our website, one of the shirts that supports our program says, "Dear Youth, I'm listening." And the reason we came up with that is because the biggest thing that I get back from the kids is that the adults talk too much to them or talk at them too much and rarely take the time to listen to really understand where they're coming from. So we can't wait to get that book out to market at some point and pick that program back up. But again, as always, it comes down to funding and time management and things of that nature. So that's where we're at with it.
Okay. Now, this all has to seem so surreal, like a big dream to you. Plus the fact you planned for a lot of this prior to coming home, taking the last 5 or 6 years of your incarceration and putting great stock in the plan for a future to be an asset to the community instead of a liability. Has all this activism and giving back brought you peace?
You know what brings me peace, man, is seeing kids smile and be kids. You know, me and one of my partners, man, Clement Brown Jr., we started this thing called Joy Day on Joy Road. And, you know, we basically feed the kids, give them, you know, get them free haircuts and free school supplies and things like that. And there's nothing like seeing a kid who is able to just be a kid and not have no worries. You know, we talk to all the homies in the hood, like, yo, on this day, you know, keep the block stuff on the block, you know, but let these kids have their day, you know. And that's important to me. So that brings me a sense of peace, you know, getting those checks and inbox and emails from students I've worked with, the kids I've mentored. But the work isn't done, so it's hard to be completely at peace, knowing that this is a major uphill battle to get people to really see that men and women can be assets, even though they, you know, at one point was doing some things wrong. And so the fight continues. But, you know, I got a beautiful son that keeps me inspired, and I'm like, you know, I refuse to allow him to inherit a world where we don't think about redemption as opposed to punishment. So that gives me peace of mind in itself.
Definitely, definitely. Transform from James White convicted murderer to Shaka Sankar the influencer, a result of your ability to network and to think in terms of infinite possibilities. Goes to show that whatever you put your mind to, you can do it. I salute you, brother, and that's from the heart, man.
Right back at you, bro, for sure.
No doubt, no doubt. We come to the end of our show. Please share with my listeners any closing remarks you have.
So my closing remarks is this, man. As human beings, none of us wants to be judged for our worst moment. And if you wouldn't want to be judged for your worst moment, why judge somebody else for their worst moment? And think about this. 90% of men and women who are incarcerated will at some point return to the community. How would you want them to return? As an asset, loving, caring neighbor, or as a person who is worse than what they went in? And so if you can think of it from that perspective, you know that redemption is worth it. You know that the effort is worth it. Challenge your policymakers, your politicians, your community activists to think more broadly about this. And always ask yourself, what if it was me? So, and saying that, you know, I bid you all love, peace, and upliftment. And hopefully we get a chance to work together. You can check out my work on my website, www.shakasengor.com. And just follow me on social media under the same name. And let's build together.
Absolutely. And a shout-out to Detroit. I have a partnership with the Better Detroit Youth Movement. Continued great success, brother. And again, I salute you for all you do. Hats off. Hats off.
All right, for sure. Salute, bro. And hopefully we meet up soon.
Oh, absolutely. That's definitely part of the plan, without a doubt.
All right, my dude.
Peace.
All right, peace.
You're listening to Young Men Perspective Magazine. I'm your host, Jeff Hodges. That was my incredible guest, Shaka Sankar. And I want to thank him and all you listening live and in the archive. And I'll close with one of his quotes. "The majority of men and women who are incarcerated are redeemable, and I wish for society to embrace a more empathetic approach to how we approach mass incarceration, because anyone can have a transformation if we give them the space. Misdeeds should not define you for the rest of your life." And on that note, wish you all peace and a great day. Thank you for listening.
Yo, what's up? This is the Kid Capri. People all over the world!
It's official.
You're listening to the hottest internet station.
YMP.
Young Men's Perspective Radio.
Live on Iliad. We are real baby.
On iHeartRadio.
I love this. YMP.
Another funeral. Another movie. You don't know.
Smoke a blunt to take the pain out. If I wasn't high, pop, I'd try to blow my brains out. I'm hopeless, they should've killed me as a baby. And now they got me trapped in a storm, I'm going crazy. Forgive me, they wanna see me in my casket. And if I don't blast, I'll be a victim of the bastards. I'm losing hope, they got me stressing. Can the Lord forgive me? Got the spirit of a thug in me. Another sip of that drink, this Tennessee got me queasy. Don't wanna hurt young, looking to make it easy. Picture your dreams on the triple beam. And it seems don't underestimate the power of a fiend. To the homies on the block, slinging rocks with your clock. Put the tape in your box when you're running from the cop. And never look back if they could be black. Then they would switch open fly on it. It's up, my Lord knows.
This is a national healthcare alert from the Health Hotline. If you have severe knee or back pain and you have Medicare or private insurance, we have great news. Finally, there's a way to reduce your pain without surgery or taking medications. Call us today and learn how you can qualify to get a pain-relieving knee or back brace at little or no cost to you. We'll even ship your brace for free. If you have excruciating knee or back pain and you have Medicare or private insurance, don't wait. You may qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving, nearly invisible knee or back brace at little or no cost to you. I've used one. They're comfortable and they work, and we guarantee your happiness. So call right now and get yours. I promise, we're here to take your call. Thank you.
Call 800-430-9571. 800-430-9571. 800-430-9571. That's 800-430-9571.
There's a lot going on in the world,
and your world is always changing.
That's why it's important to stay connected.
The latest news, the latest entertainment, the newest music. If it's in the air
or
on the air,
it can be in the palm of your hand,
wherever you are,
with the iHeartRadio app.
iHeartRadio.
Over 1,500 live radio stations from across the country, and over 15 million songs to create your own custom stations. Text IHR to 45495 to download the app or listen at iHeartRadio.com. Standard text and data rates apply.
High energy, full with the wisdom, sense of a rich man, knowledge and the rhythm. This is what I'm using to come up with a style, so I'll interact altogether better with the crowd. Nervous for a second.
YMP on iHeartRadio. Young men, perspective radio, live on Iliad with Real Fake Media.
Welcome to the future, baby.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of Young Men's Perspective Radio. I'm your host, Jeff Hodges, and I hope you enjoyed that definitely incredible sit-down I had with the one and only Shaka Shakur, the best-selling author. You know, the brother's come home and done some amazing things in the community. He's got his book in the hands of Oprah Winfrey, man, and just to see that pop off, I was really impressed to see that. So, you know, continued success to the brother. And I hope that a lot of you brothers out there can understand that you can transform your life and you're not, you know, weighed out and measured out based off of a deed or a situation in your life. You can always make a turnaround with that, though.
Right.
Joining me is also, as always, you know, my peoples, the Digga the Dame.
You better believe it. This is your man's Digga Dame Lee, a.k.a. Poppy Rotsy. You know, the guy with the bionic guy. It's official, man. Young Men's Perspective Radio, live on Iliad. We doing our thing. iHeart Radio's in the building. The Beasley Media Group is in the building. And we definitely got to give a shout out to Mr. Eric Jones over there at Worldwide Radio Network. You know what I'm saying? We can't leave out our third level. We can't leave out the third motion, baby. We got to give Diamond Life some love. Can we give Diamond Life a shout out, man? Diamond Life, we love you. We missing you up here. Get back on the road. Come see us, man. Let's get it done like it's supposed to be done, man.
Okay.
So, yo, the interview was hot. I really was digging what Sincor had to say, man. Definitely what he's doing over there in Detroit with both the schools. That's very strong. So how did that interview feel for you, having that opportunity to just chop it up with him and get his perspective on something that some of us all, you know, as gentlemen that grew through a certain era, you know what I mean? We all had to travel through that system and whatnot. How did it feel to, like, really chop it up with a brethren that also found his voice, his skill set, and became an author?
Nah, it was an amazing experience, especially because at the end of the day, that interview represents the epitome of me creating this platform, showing you about the transformation with transparency. You know, we all could have, like you said, walked in a certain walk, but it's not about who you was, it's about who you created to be. And as long as you move in that essence and move in that direction, you know, you can make that change and make that happen, what you're looking to do. So it was incredible, man. It was incredible.
That's dope. We definitely got to get him over here on the show again. You know what I mean? Live and direct.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So, yo, man, I just want to salute you real quick, Mr. Hodges. Am I allowed to have... Hey, Rick, can we have a moment to salute the Hodge? Can we get it a moment? Because a couple weeks ago, man, you took on a venture that most would stray from, run away from,
indeed,
you know
indeed.
What I mean? Do the best they could to avoid it. You dove in head first, no pinky toe, no big toe test, the water, nothings. You dove right in, B. All right. Have you had a chance to talk with our family, the potential, your daughter? Have you had a chance to talk to the loved one as of late?
Oh, LaTwana and I, we talk every day. That's not a day to go by. We haven't talked since we connected.
All right, and so some of y'all, if you may be a little lost, no more than a month or so ago, the Hodge was informed from a childhood relationship that he had a 32-year-old daughter.
32-year-old daughter.
So once being introduced to that information, he dove in like a real scholarly gentleman and became very astute, not only in just communicating, but getting the proper testing done. But there may have been
glitch to the system.
Error.
Yes, sir.
And so with that error, we were able to contact some family. So when you found out, one, that you had the potential of having a 32-year-old daughter, what really through your mind, man?
Listen, happy welcome to your 50th chamber. It's like, hey, now I'm a baby daddy at 50. Huh. I mean, y'all, I can't explain it. Like I think I told you, you know, just something you put out to the universe, and the universe got a way of answering. You know, it's got a sense of humor. So I think that was kind of unique in itself, because the whole experience was always like premeditated in a sense, because anticipated something, and here that came. So it's always a connection somewhere, as long as you know. So yeah, it's been great.
Okay, so now let me ask you this: so you find out this information,
right?
And then you got about 2 weeks from the time of the hello and the swab of the DNA samples and whatnot. So you got 2 weeks that you went in hardcore, I know for a fact I'm daddy mode.
Right.
And then we got that motion.
Got that Maury moment.
That Maury moment.
You are not.
At that moment, how did you feel? Because I didn't see no cartwheels or nothing. I didn't see you doing no wops or the running man's or nothing like that. Tell us how that went down.
Nah, that was a crushing moment, no doubt. No doubt. Mm. But at the same time, it was a revealing moment, because at the expense of the lab, they used about, 15 approaches to find out whether or not we were a match.
Right.
And out of 15, 13 was. So that in itself left for question, and it was suspect and possibility of error. So we didn't just let the crushing just crush us. We just kept it pushing. And so who knew? Check it, though. Who knew? You had somebody on deck, on the team.
Hold on. Before you go there, though, so you're telling me that out of 15 markers that they check to see if this could be your daughter, a match. Out of 15, you're telling me 13 matched up. Yes, sir. They said no.
No.
All right.
How about they gave you Damon Wayne? No.
Like that, huh?
No.
But yeah, did we agree with that philosophy? I mean, did you let that be what it was? Like, talk to us, man. Talk to us. We're concerned right now.
Oh yeah, no. We don't let that be it. We don't just stop right there. We keep it pushing. You know, we don't get the second opinions for nothing. We don't think the way it was handled was properly. We don't think that it went about the way it should. So with that alone, we're going to go about taking another test, which, you know, find out what we need to find out, irregardless of those results.
Okay. Yo, I just want to say we're riding with you. I know we got a special caller calling in today.
Yeah, who knew?
And this is going to be exciting, you know what I mean? So, we going to commercial for a minute, or
we can do that.
We got a caller calling in. Tell me what we're about to, what's the activity? Where are we going with this now? Because I definitely want to see what we're about to do.
We're
going to
take a quick one. Pay a bill or two. We'll pay a bill.
All right, stay with us then. We're going to pay a bill. We're going to be back, find out more about Hodge and his Daddy Dearest moments.
YMP.
YMP.
Right about now, you're tuned into
Young Men's Perspective Radio.
I be the Law of Finesse, a.k.a. the Underboss, D-I-T-C.
On 1100 Atlanta.com.
So keep it tuned right here.
We here now.
Dad, I'm really afraid of what's happening with the economy. There's too much civil unrest, too much terrorism, and unstable global markets. I'm tired of riding the ups and downs of the market. It reminds me of 2008. I was caught off guard then. How do I prepare for the worst now? What'll I do if the dollar collapses?
You gotta stop worrying, son, and take action. It's time to think about a precious metals private storage IRA or an investment in silver with the Gold Silver Group. Like I said before, you insure your house, your car, your kids, and your life. Don't you think it's time to insure your wealth?
Call Gold Silver Group at 800-943-0834. Learn how easy it is to set up your own precious metals private storage IRA and how you can qualify for up to $700 in free silver. Gold Silver Group can satisfy any of your precious metals investment needs. Receive your gold and silver fully insured and privately delivered to your door. Call Gold Silver Group, 800-943-0834. 800-943-0834.
How old are you? 25, 35, 50, or older? If you have pain, we can help. Do your knees hurt?
Ow!
Let me ask you again. Are your knees killing you?
Oh, yeah. Are they ever?
What about your back? When you bend over, does it feel like this? How about when you get out of bed in the morning? If you're like me, your knees and back feel like this.
Oh, that hurts.
I found a company called the Pain Relief Hotline. They specialize in ways to treat your knee, back, and neck pain without surgery or taking medications. The good news is if you have insurance, you may have little or no cost or out-of-pocket expense. I've used them. It works. Call the Pain Relief Hotline now for free information. 800-989-0851. 800-989-0851. Call now. 800-989-0851. That's 800-989-0851.
Young Men's Perspective Radio. Your call-in number is 404-603-8770. That's 404-603-8770. Call in now.
You're here now.
On iHeartRadio.
We back, y'all. Welcome back to the show. It's definitely been a pleasure servicing you all with the great content and information that we like to bring. Earlier, if you missed out, we definitely sat down and brought back to you a segment that we are pleased to have in our archives. You know, we sat down with author, best-selling author, Shaka Sankoh from Detroit.
Shaka!
Yeah, he definitely got a good story there, man. You got to check out his TED Talk. And you got to seek him out. You see, he's all over the place, hanging out most of the time with Oprah Winfrey, doing his thing. As the brother Digger Dane said, we're going to go back a little ways and bring y'all something. I believe our guest is on the phone over there. So,
All right. So we may have our guest in the building live on the app, Young Men's Perspective.
Yes.
So
yes.
Check it out.
Yes. Caller, what's your name and where you're calling from?
It's Frankie Lynn Hines from Columbus, Ohio, calling from Paternity Services of Ohio.
There it is.
Hey, how you doing today, Miss Frankie Lynn Hines?
There it is.
I'm doing great, thank you. How are you all doing?
Oh, man, we're historical over here. Thank you.
Absolutely wonderful.
So. No, go ahead. Say what you were going to say, please.
I sent you all a pack of ISO tea for the crew.
Oh, thank you so much.
Oh, it went out.
Yes. Can we get a round of applause for Frankie Lynn Hines for sending out the ISO tea? Yes, sir.
We're going to detox some folks over there.
A little detox don't hurt you, buddy.
So, Frankie Lynn, as we're diving in, as we're recapping, while celebrating just this authorship of life, you know, both Jeff and the interview that we just had a chance to listen to, Mr. Sankoh, we're realizing that life has such a funny way of smiling back at you as long as you don't give up on it, right? And
right.
We took an opportunity to realize that deeds that normally don't shine bright around you, they don't really dictate how you can outcome in your forward motion. So here we are recapping how, as a young gentleman, the Hodge had an opportunity to be intimate, had the potential of becoming a father, finding out 32 years later, and he allowed not an adolescent deed to keep him from being a remarkable father that he was already groomed into being. So right now, you have been designated by the Most High to help facilitate this journey that the Hodge is on right now. So I want to first say thank you again for calling in. You're making history with us here at YMP Radio. And I just want to say thank you for that. And I also would like to applaud you because your word is like magic, Miss Frankie Lynn Hines. For those of you that don't know, Frankie Lynn Hines, I'm going to let you tell them yourself, Frankie. Can you please catch us up with the God gift that's taking place in your world right now? Can you let us know what's taking place and why this topic that we're having about Hodge and the potential of him being a father is so valuable as it involves you, please?
Well, thank you for allowing me to come on. If you don't mind, can y'all turn the music down a little bit? Because it's a little bit distracting. Okay.
Right, good.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yes, you know, as you get older, you know, you have to focus and and it's too many things going on at one time. So I'm like, I feel like I'm fighting with the music, even though it was smooth, though, in the background. First of all, I want to say I'm so proud of YNP Radio and what you all are doing and the content that you all are bringing on the radio waves and the internet. It is awesome because it's like someone can benefit from everybody you bought, the information, the content that y'all brought on the radio waves. Somebody out there can benefit from the information. So I just want to thank you all first.
Oh, man. Respect. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it.
Because I feel like somebody needs to speak for our men. Mm. Like somebody needs to speak up for our brothers. And even down to the engineer when I called in, I said, I sent y'all's tea out today and you get a pack too. So I just want to thank you all that you offered a way for us to get our voices heard, have our voices heard, and learn something at the same time.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. So, thank you. Can you repeat the brother's name that you all had on the interview that Jeff interviewed, Mr. Hodges interviewed?
Shaka Sinkor. Shaka Sinkor. Check him out. That's his. You can find him at www.shakasinkor.com.
Shaka Sinkor. Okay. Somebody type it in if you can. I'm going to pick up where he left off because this is how I got introduced to paternity testing is in the prison system. I wasn't behind bars, but I ended up behind bars because that's how I got started doing DNA testing. I was offered a contract back in 1997 to do court-ordered paternity tests for child support. So for those that think if they're behind bars, they are free from child support, they're coming for you because they changed the law back in 1998 called welfare reform, and basically they wanted to make men accountable for these children that were receiving welfare and draining the system, and the father was not helping. So that's how I got involved in this business. But what I found going into the prisons, I learned more going in there than I did before I went in there. Because it became bigger than just serving these court orders. I saw babies in there. Black men, 18 years old, serving a lot of time. It was emotional. I would have stacks of court orders, and just they would just bring them down, and I'd be swabbing, doing DNA testing on all these inmates. And it was sad to see so many of our black men in there.
Right.
And these men did not know the women that I would tell them that I'm there to test them with against a child that she accused him of. So it was my job to educate them. They didn't tell me to say this to them, but I knew I better educate these black men about the law. Because they could deny doing the DNA test, but if they denied it, doing the test, and someone else wasn't found the father, they would be found the father through default.
Wow.
Wow.
System gonna get their money.
So I would educate them, and I would say, hey, you may not know this girl. Maybe you knew her by her first name. Maybe you didn't know her last name. But just do this test so they can exclude you or include you, because you don't want to be paying child support for a child that's not even yours by default.
Right.
So I always encouraged our brothers to please don't, you know, let's just get this done. It's free for you right now to get it done. Let's just get it done. So that's how I started in doing DNA testing. And then 5 years later, I decided to go and become a broker and start my own company and use the lab to do DNA testing. So that's my story, and it was emotional watching all these brothers. They were so glad to see a sister in there. I saw a lot of my own peers in there growing up, so it was like, wow, you're in here? What? That's where you've been. So yeah, Paternity Services of Ohio got its start through the prison system doing court order paternity tests. And that has been my passion since 1997. Jeff's story, Mr. Hodges, I walked him through his report and read it, and so I offered him and his daughter's respective daughter a second opinion.
Awesome.
And so, yes, this is my passion, because this was so long ago. This will be the second talk show host that I've tested. I've tested someone on another talk show, WBKO out of Columbus, Ohio. And we went on the air about it, too. So I'm really just honored. I do this because I love it. And it's my passion. Because I just want people to have clarity and a peace of mind. And everybody deserves that.
Exactly. Right, right. So let me ask you this. Didn't something as of this week and or no later than last week, didn't something remarkable happen for you that would help facilitate your skill set with what Jeff Hodges is going through by chance? Didn't something take place in your world that we want to applaud you for again?
I've gone over so many paternity tests with individuals, but when it's your family, it's something different, and y'all are family to me. Going through his test, and this is something that's been piercing my spirit for a while to open up my company again. I took a break from it to finish nursing school and cool down with the immigration case.
Slow down. Tell the people again. You did what? What'd you open up again?
Oh, I opened up Paternity Services of Ohio. I spent 14 years in DNA testing, and I just wanted to continue to help the people. So I felt compelled to give back and not give up on y'all, because I just want to help people. I just want them to have a peace of mind.
Wow. We thank you for that. We thank you for that. So, Mr. Hodge.
Yes, sir.
How do you feel that Frankie Lynn Hines reopened her business based off of your story, man? Like, come on, B. She was like, wow. Yo, forget that. She went back in the vault and opened up the joint, dusted the office out and everything. How do you feel, man?
Nah, that's an honor, man. I feel really honored. I'm humbled. Who knew we had on our team right when we needed it? You know what I mean? Like, everything fell in place. So, yo, kudos and bless
it's Iliav. It's the digital Black Wall Street, baby. Like, this is where, if you need it, we got it. Come to the avenue, baby.
That's a beautiful thing.
So I want to tell you all this, because this is, you know, this is Black Wall Street. This is Live on Iliav. This is YMP Young Man's Perspective Radio. Listen, Maury Povich, I was doing DNA testing before he started his show, okay? And I thought it would be so cool to have a show to walk people through this. And what do you know, like 3 years later, he came out with, you know, he switched the show from that to this whole DNA paternity testing right on the, you know, right in front of my eyes. Well, we used the same lab, DNA Diagnostics, and I contacted them and said, hey, I want to get back into the business, chopped it up with them. I said, I need a good rate. They said, oh, yeah, we have all your information. Yeah, you sent a lot of cases through here. So we and Judge Mathis used them. A few of these court shows, you'll always see it'll say DDC on that envelope. That's DNA Diagnostic Center. That's who we're using. I trust them. It's a 1 to 2 day turnaround. We offer 2,400 lab sites all over the United States. So it doesn't matter if you're not in Columbus. Our office is in Westerville, Ohio. So we're opening, reopening June the 1st. Everything's locked down. Everything is confidential. And just give us a call and let me walk you through and let me do the talking. Let me encourage you how to talk to a woman about having a paternity test done.
So, gentlemen,
If you follow my lead, because I know how women think, you'd be surprised how they would just go ahead and submit, especially if they're rejecting wanting to do it. Wow. Most times it's because they got something to hide. So pay attention. Mm-hmm. Just let me walk you through it. And if you do exactly what I say to do and, like, drop the attitude, but trust me, we can get it done.
So you hear it right here. Frankie Lynn Hines, she's told you. Contact her. She can help you get correct. Gentlemen, please take this information seriously. It can help your life. You do not want to be affected by the system. And Frankie, we just thank you for taking your divine energy and paying attention to the DNA structure, just understanding that language well enough to help us protect ourselves and our families, our offspring, our women, the community. You know what I mean? So just really, we thank you for that.
You're welcome. And you don't have to set an appointment to call in, but don't talk me to death. Just tell me your situation and I'll walk you through what you should probably do. I'm not a legal advisor. I just know the business.
Okay.
So just, you know, feel free to call in. You don't have to set an appointment. You might just have a question, and I'll be willing to work with you and answer your questions if I can. If I can't find the answer, I'll figure it out and find out.
Give that number again.
Yeah, what's that call-in number?
Okay, 614-394-4834.
One more time.
614-394-4834. Or you can inbox me on Facebook under Frankie Lynn Hine, and I'll answer your question.
There you have it. There you have it. If you want to be in a position of the Hodge, finding out if you are the daddy or not, get at us. Get at Frankie Lynn Hines. Let's protect our family. Without us, there is no us. And that's facts. You did. We got a couple more minutes.
Thank you for
if anybody would like to call in while Frankie
okay.
is. Stay with us, Frankie. Hold on, because we may have a caller okay. that may have a question for you. If it's anyone out there mm-hmm. right now that want to call in, you may have a paternity question for Miss Frankie Lynn Hines. Please give us a call right now at 404-603-8770. Again, that's 404-603-8770. Give us a call. Let's see if we can answer a question or two before we have to get out of here, man. But, yo, I'm proud of you, Hodge. That's all I can say, man.
Appreciate it.
I'm so proud of him, too.
Appreciate it.
And can I, you know, Mr. Jeff.
Yes.
Listen to me. Remember I told you this, and I'm going to say it one more time. When you get a DNA test, you just have to prepare yourself for either way.
Right.
Because one thing about a woman, and I'm not saying in your situation, a lot of them keep a lot of secrets.
Oh, okay. Look like we got ourselves a caller. Thank you, Frankie. Hold on with us right there. Don't go nowhere. We got another call online. Who's on the line? What's your name? What's your question?
Well, you know, you call me Cuzzo. Some call me Yaya.
Yaya is easy.
Cuzzo. What up, Cuzzo?
What up, man?
How are you?
I'm good, man. Respect. Y'all got a real positive show going on, man. I'm loving all this great information.
Appreciate that.
Ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who may not know, this is the official 2-time world champion, Yaya McCray.
Oh, yeah,
most
crazy,
official,
man. What's good?
Most official
man,
casualties of war, women in the regime, film coming soon. Tune in to him. Yo, yo.
Hey, man.
Yaya. Frankie's
yes,
on the
sir.
Horn,
yes,
man.
Sir.
Go ahead, chop it up with her.
Yo, that's sister Frankie Lyons, Frankie Lynn Hines.
Yeah.
That's
yes, sir.
Some very powerful information that you're over here talking about. And I love what you're doing, you know. I love what you're doing.
Oh, thank you.
I think that, you know, I think they could tell you, you know, I got this documentary going. And I got a radio show, too. I got to bring y'all.
I know.
Definitely got to bring you on the show so you can further spread that knowledge.
No
because
doubt,
it's a lot of
Thank you
hey, yo, no
so
doubt.
Much.
No doubt. Listen, check it out. We're going to have to definitely get over there on your platform, Yaya. But at this time, we got to shut it down. Thank you for calling, everybody.
We appreciate the
love. No doubt. And you've been listening to Yo Man's Perspective. I am your host, Jeff Hodges.
And I am your co-host, Digger Dame Lee, a.k.a. Poppy Rossi.
And we want to thank y'all once again for tuning in. Stay tuned. Same time, same bat channel. We'll check y'all out. And we'll be back again.
Future.
This is
Young Men's Perspective Radio, live on Iliad. We are Real Faith Media.
I love you guys.
Ladies and gentlemen,
you are listening to Young Men's Perspective Radio.
Live on Iliad. We are Real Faith Media.
We look to enrich, encourage, and engage our youth here on iHeartRadio.
And it's presented like a jewel.
We interview individuals such as Susan L. Taylor.
What we know is that failing schools are the pipeline to prison.
Jasari X.
We're the changers, and I feel like this generation is a generation that's really going to make change.
Dr. Julia Hare.
Best part of our action plan is to reclaim the minds of our children.
Dick Gregory.
Our problem is we think we part of this government, you know.
This is Young Men's Perspective Radio.
Live on Iliad, we are Real Faith Media.
Tune in to WWRN 1100 AM.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.